Every company has breakdowns in their revenue process. Sure thing, deals slip into next quarter, competitors creep in and swipe deals away at the last minute, and deals getting single-threaded that don't get to power. These are just a few examples of revenue leak, but there are a ton more, and they're preventing your team from reaching their sales targets. That's why I'm such a big fan of Clary's revenue platform. It's the only tool that actually helps leaders take control of their revenue and thrive through any market conditions, especially when things get tough. You can't afford to miss a single detail, but you also can't be leading by gut. Clary combines the science and the art of sales and sales leadership. So go to clary.com if you want to answer the most important question in your business. Are you going to meet, beat, or miss on revenue?
Everybody, welcome to another episode of the Live Better, Sell Better podcast. This is your host, Kevin Dorsey, aka KD. And today, we're going to talk about the difference between being good and great within an org. Because so often, you hear sales tips, email tips, cold calling tips, all the tips. That's everything that gets talked about on LinkedIn and shows and everything else. But what people so constantly miss is management and coaching advice. I have now led four orgs with over 100 reps in them. I have been scaling for the last 13 years of my life, and one of my biggest light bulb moments about 4 years ago was all good strategies go to die at the frontline manager. And it's not because they don't care. It's not because they don't work hard. It's because they've never been coached and taught how to actually drive behavior change. And that is why I'm so excited. I have Alex McNaughton on the show with me today. He is the founder and CEO over at Grow.ai. And we're going to be diving into how to actually manage, how to actually coach that drives performance, drives behavior change, and drives skill development to get to that next level. Alex, my man, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Kevin, for having me on the show. It's great to be here.
This topic, I mean, we're going to struggle to keep this one to the time frame because we could go on this all day. So what I want to start with just right out the gate is, what's the difference in your eyes between coaching and managing? Because there is a lot of managers that think they're coaches, and there's a lot of coaches that think they're managers, but it's not the same. How do you delineate those two things?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I think let's start there, and I'd love to talk a little bit about like how we got to this place is like, you know, why is this a problem as well? But I think coaching is helping someone to improve their capability, come to the answers themselves. It's not just showing them, it's helping them work through problems so that they can get better and ultimately improve their skill set. That's how I think about coaching. I'd love your take on it though. Mm-hmm. From a management perspective, you know, that's the, all the cadences and the people side of people, it's people, systems, processes, cadences of running a team. And that is a different thing to coaching. And then there's training as well, which is, you know, effectively just teaching someone a new skill. So, you know, I think a lot of muddling up happens between these areas.
Yeah. I just think it's important because like, I think with CEB did a study a while back, they pulled like 10,000 reps and asked them what percentage of them thought they were getting regular coaching from their manager. And it was like 17% of reps thought they were getting regular and impactful coaching from their manager. But they also surveyed all the managers and asked the managers what percentage of them thought were providing regular coaching to their reps. And it was like 87%. And there's just this massive gap between this, which kind of sets up to the next point here. Of like, so why do you think we are in this place? Like, why does this seem to be such a blind spot for so many companies?
Well, I think you have to look at how people come into these management positions and actually how people fall into sales in general, right? So 77% of people fall into sales. They don't choose it as a career. They fall into it somehow. Then what happens is the best salesperson is typically promoted into a management position. Mm-hmm. Now, chances are that salesperson, like you just said, hasn't been coached about selling. Then we put them in the management position and now they're frontline manager and we say, okay, cool. Now you're leading 10 people. Now you're responsible for 10 people. 95% of those managers get no training, coaching, direction whatsoever on how to even run a sales team. So then what do? They just default back to what they're good at, which was selling. So every time they're selling, you know, one of their team is struggling, what does the manager do? Jump in. And, you know, it's this sort of self-perpetuating cycle. And, you know, I think it's the fundamental gap across sales orgs is, and it's the thing that leads to the lack of quota attainment. It's the thing that leads to the retention challenges in teams. You know, what is it, 14-month average tenure in sales right now? 17 months for a, you know, someone in a leadership role.
Mm-hmm.
It's just this self-perpetuating cycle.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny. It's so funny, man. I literally led a manager training this morning with my management team.
Nice.
And one of the things we do bi-weekly, I run bi-weekly trainings with my leadership org, right? Like I have a 15-hour course and academy that they go through to be a leader on my team. Like it's heavy to be a leader on my team and to get to those promotion levels. But when I talked to them, I was like, the problem is for a lot of you were successful in sales without coaching.
Yeah.
And because of that, that's how you lead. Because you didn't need coaching, because you didn't have to practice, then you pass that on to your reps. And that's not the same, right? We have this phrase that we say often, I am not you, you are not me, we are not them, they are not us. We have to remember that we can't manage the way that we like to be managed. We can't coach the way that we like to be coached. We have to cater to the individual. So let's go down this coaching path, right? We know right now a lot of managers aren't doing a lot of coaching, right? So what's the advice you give them, right? Like a manager's like, all right, well, okay, I do want to coach more. I want to be better at it. What are some of the tactics, the tools that a manager can use to become a better coach?
I think one of the simplest things that a manager can do is, you know, and we'll pick the one-on-one conversation as the starting point. That's, you know, with a lot of the interactions that go on between a manager and their sales rep is slow down a little bit. So, you know, I think the default is to jump in, to try and solve the problem immediately. But unfortunately, what that creates is like a dependence. If your sales manager is constantly coming in and just doing the things that you should be doing as a sales rep and solving all the problems for you, you don't actually have to level up. So I think it's slow down. And instead of giving the answer away immediately, is help that person come to the solution themselves. Ask them a few questions. You know, ask them what, okay, so you're struggling with this, you know, let's say it's a, you know, a specific deal situation. You're struggling with this situation right now. How did you come here? How did you get here? Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Tell me more about that. And what have you tried so far? And that in itself, it seems so simple, is ask, it's the advice we often give salespeople is ask some open-ended questions. But that's what a good manager can do to help one of their salespeople or, you know, their whole team to improve their capability and remove that dependence. Mm-hmm. It's one of the biggest things, I was just going to say, I empathize with the frontline sales manager because I think it's one of the hardest roles in the world. You're pulled in a million directions. You've probably got too many people in your team. I was chatting with a frontline sales manager recently, 16 direct reports. And you're managing up and down and having a coach and having, and it's a lot.
So, my personal record is 27. And as a manager, I had 27 sellers reporting to me directly, right? It's just what the hell was happening there. And it's funny because the way that you mentioned it, as I've been talking about this more and more, is this the old cliche, right? Like your best seller doesn't make your best manager, right? And what's interesting about that is it's because people stop doing the very things that made them good at sales. As a seller, you did great discovery, but managers never do great discovery on their reps. As a seller, you sold the vision and the better future, but then managers don't sell the better future and vision with their reps. As a seller, you did objection handling. Managers don't do like managing, following up. It's actually the same skills. It's actually that managers stop selling, right? So I love that first step of asking questions. It's almost like, again, leadership discovery. Ask the questions, dig in a little bit deeper. You wouldn't let a prospect get off the hook with one answer. You'd go deeper into it. So I love that. Then where do you go, right? So I've been asking the questions because there's coming to the solution and then there's actually being able to solve it. Where do you coach from there?
So I think another thing that can massively help the stretched sales manager. So if we use your example, right, you had 27 direct reports. If you're trying to do one-on-one, like if you're trying to fit in one-on-ones, that's every single day of the month you're going to be doing one-on-one, right? Like it's insane. So then you have to get a little bit strategic and say, okay, of my 27 sellers, what are the common challenges that I'm seeing across the team? And now let's start to solve those time efficiently. So if I have 2/3 of my team over here struggling in a specific area, that's a great team coaching opportunity. If I have one seller over here with a very, very specific problem that's just them, that's something I'll solve one-on-one. And then also leverage the high performers in your team and get them to help coach as well. So like a really good example is like one of our clients recently, they, you know, our platform surfaced that one of the sellers in their team, their high performer, was running things in a specific way. Mm-hmm. And their leader then took that person, gave them a position of, okay, why don't you show the rest of the team how you're doing this? And that person then is like running a training and then effectively being a coach for the other 15 people in the team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just about how can you maximize the hours of in the day? That's it. You can't be everywhere. Yeah. And I think that's the first thing that your sales manager has to like admit is like, I cannot be everywhere. So I need to be really smart about the hours I do have.
And that's the thing there, right? Is like prioritizing, first of all, doing the right things. But yeah. What you mentioned there is like, we talk about this a lot within my orgs, right? We call it the wiggle, right? We call it the wiggle. Wiggle stands for what good looks like.
Right.
So like we talk about the wiggle all the time. What's the wiggle? Do we have the wiggle? Do we even know? Right. And the example you just gave there, it's like, once you identify what good looks like, it doesn't have to come from us. 100% pull that rep in and share. Cause of what we also know in leadership, reps tend to love to learn from their peers more than they do their manager.
Yeah.
So I'm going to lean into that. Like, I'm not going to fight that. I'm like, okay, what are the best doing?
Yep.
Can I capture that? And then we go through the 4 D's, right? So we say define, document, demonstrate, deliberately practice. So mm-hmm. Once we know the wiggle, we go through the 4 D's, define, document, demonstrate, deliberately practice it, right? We capture it. We explain, define what it is. We document mm-hmm. it. We put it in writing. We demonstrate it. We do trainings, recordings, examples, and then we deliberately practice it day in and day out till we get good at it. So what's your take on practice, actually, as we kind of go through this, right? So think about skill development. Practice is foundational in my orgs. I'd be curious on your take.
I think the analogy of a sports team, like an elite sports team, is really good. Like, what do? They're practicing all week for one game. You know, they practice all week, hours and hours a day for that one moment. And sales is actually quite a lot like that. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot rests on that 30-minute discovery conversation. So why the hell wouldn't you practice before it? Like, why would you leave it to chance? So I think, you know, the best performing sales orgs that I've ever been a part of or that have been clients of mine over the years have always, always embraced this idea of like continual development, continual practice. It doesn't have to be 10 hours a week. Like, if, you know, like we get it, everyone's busy, but make space for it. Like, I think everyone can commit to 15 minutes a week. Like, everyone can fit that into their schedule, or 5 minutes a day, however you want to chunk it down. Like, there's always time for that.
Yeah, I like the phrase, this was the training, by the way, I just left with my managers, was how to run practice the right way. And like, you know, we'd gotten away from it a little bit, how to structure, how to fit it in. Because what I opened with is like the idea of being too busy for practice is actually the very reason why we have to practice.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want you to think about that real quick. If they're too busy to practice, that means they are too busy doing it the wrong way.
Right.
That's literally what that means, is that they are doing the thing poorly more. If they're so busy selling that they don't have time to practice, then that's exactly why we have to practice, because that means they are losing on deals left and right because they're not getting good at it. So it's like we have 30 minutes blocked for every single rep and then 15 additional with each rep and their manager every single week. It's built into the calendar. And then we do some daily, we call them like, you know, prep more than practice. Hey, Al, so I got a call coming up with Superbiz this afternoon. Can we spend like 15 minutes? Let's go through a little bit. Let's do some different scenarios and like, you know, practice that out to really ingrain it and put that in there. So So then let's keep going around this, right? What are some of the other common misses that you are seeing at that manager level, right? Because I talk to people on this podcast all the time, and very few come in talking about like management and coaching, which is why I'm so excited. So like, what else are you seeing that has this so top of mind for you?
Like it was kind of, it's been my life, you know, like I was the classic sales rep who was promoted to sales leadership way too soon with no support. And suddenly I've got 12 people reporting to me and I had no idea what I was doing. So that was like my very first job was in a tech startup and things grew quickly and suddenly I'm leading a team. So, you know, and then I moved into consulting, coaching, and then I had a recruitment company and training company. So I saw all of this, you know, over the last 11 years and now solving this problem with technology, with SaaS. But, you know, I think one of the, there's been a few things I've really observed. Like number one is we don't support our frontline sales managers.
Right.
We don't give them love. Like, sounds like you're doing an amazing work with your organization, but that is the exception, not the rule. Like 95% of sales managers have never had sales management training.
Yep.
That's insane.
Yep.
That's completely insane. And then, you know, it's a tough job. So I think that's the first thing is like at an organizational level, we need more senior leaders like you who are investing in actually supporting their frontline sales managers. I think other misses are just, you know, like this stuff isn't that complicated. But, you know, simple things like, let's get our team collaborating and helping each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's not have 27 individuals in the sales team. Let's get them helping each other. Because that way, everyone improves. If we can get John showing the rest of the team how he's nailing discovery, and we can get Alice showing how she's crushing cold calls, it's a win-win-win. Mm-hmm. Because John feels great. Everyone else learns. And you look like a rock star manager for facilitating the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, but I do think the biggest miss is that we're not supporting our frontline sales managers to be successful.
Yeah, it's what I'm trying to solve, man, right? Like I've launched the Sales Leadership Accelerator. I've built the full course, yeah. Right? The same methodologies I use within my own orgs. I've documented, demonstrated, deliberately practiced. I put it all together. I'm starting to work with companies this year with this. I've worked with HubSpot and Snowflake and Clearwater, like, because like to really install this, because it's one of, I've described it this way. It's one of like the most commonly accepted, well-known, unactioned problems in SaaS.
Yes.
Like you talk to any leader out there and you go, so how much training have your managers gotten? And 90% of them are like, yeah, they've never really gotten much training. And it's like, they know it, but they've never done anything about it. Like when I was doing like market research, I talked to some of the who's who on LinkedIn. Right. Like I'm close with a lot of like, you know, the big names there, you know, and I was talking them through this, like, yeah, like I like this, you know, like da 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 da. And then the last question is like, have you ever brought in training for your managers? And yeah. This is from some of the best of the best. And I'm like, actually, no, I never really have, you know, and it's like, it's just crazy. Like people don't think about it. So if a leader's listening, what would you recommend for them as first steps? Right, like how do you start to enable the managers better?
Well, before I answer that, I think I'll just give you my take as to why this has happened.
Uh-huh.
I think it's been certainly as long as I've been in the workforce anyway, it's been like a cheap money environment. So a lot of bad behavior has perpetuated because money was cheap. So it was like, it's okay. You know, like 40% quota attainment, it's okay, just add another body. Mm-hmm. And now suddenly it's turned quite quickly. And it's not going to fly anymore. I just don't, like, I can't foresee that continuing in the current environment. So, you know, I guess, why am I saying that? Because now is the time to do it. Because if we don't, companies are going to fall over.
Yeah.
You know, sales teams are going to disappear if we don't solve it. Sorry, what was your original question, Katie? I got myself distracted in that impassioned rant.
Basically, how to start enabling.
How to start. First things first is recognize it's a problem. Like someone in senior leadership needs to just call out that this is a big gap. And I think sales is the place to start because, you know, sales keeps the lights on. You know, if the sales team aren't performing, then the organization's in serious trouble. So, you know, I think the first thing is just recognize it's a problem. I think second thing, start small. Start small. Like, senior leaders who are, you know, managing these frontline sales managers, like what you've just described, is just start doing it. Start coaching them, start imparting some wisdom on them, or, you know, looking for solutions, capability building programs, whatever it might be, and just carve out a small bit of budget for it. Like that's simple, really. Recognize the problem, start doing it, and then make some budget for it.
Yeah, it's something that needs to be done, right? Because leaders are leverage. And this is what I think so many orgs miss.
Yeah.
Leaders are your leverage. One leader gets better, that positively impacts 10 to 15 people.
Yeah.
Versus trying to make one rep better with some sales training and hoping it sticks, which it won't, by the way, because the manager doesn't know how to reinforce it and coach to it, right? So it's just something where it's really, really dialing in, like getting them the help they need, because this is the biggest lever, right? Because to your earlier point, they're busy too. They're doing so many things. Like, are there certain things that you see managers spending time on that they shouldn't, instead of like the stuff that would really drive it?
I have seen managers get too busy in the administrative side of sales management, as in they will invest too much time in reporting and spreadsheets and looking at the numbers. And I'm not saying that's not important. Like, that it's an important part of the job. Don't get me wrong, but it's easy to get lost in it and forget about what's actually going to drive performance. And is it tweaking that spreadsheet for another 3 hours, or would you be better off spending half that time with your team coaching them? The other one is, and I was talking to BJ earlier this morning, who's CRO of Art of Mentoring. Mm-hmm. And he said, I got an interesting insight from him. He said, a lot of sales leaders start off with good intentions, and they, like sales managers, start off with good intentions, and they're, you know, preparing for their one-on-ones, and they're having them every week or every couple of weeks, depending on the cadence they're running. But then over time, that preparation trends to zero. So maybe when they started in the role, it was 30 minutes prep for every one-on-one. And then 6 months later, it's zero, because they think they know everything. And now suddenly that one-on-one that was supposed to be a development conversation has now turned into a weekly pipeline review. And that salesperson is stagnant in terms of their development. Mm-hmm. And I think an interesting thing that I learned recently, I think it was an HBR, where I saw this, was that 77% of the employee experience is their direct manager. When you have tenure in SDR land of 11 months and 14 months at an account executive land, we've really got to start asking some hard questions.
Yeah, it's crazy, you know, how that plays out of just like that 40%, and then people are just going to do the same thing this year.
Yeah.
They're going to just do the same thing this year and like hope that it gets better. It's like, that's not how this is going to work. And to your point, like managers, again, I want to make sure people know, like, we're not bashing managers right now. It's just the reality of how things are, and to how you said, like, they have good intentions. I firmly believe there's actually a lot of managers that get a bad rap that don't deserve it. Like, they are doing their absolute fucking best, right? to lead, to manage with a role that they were never ever taught how to do. I worked with a company earlier this year, and I was working with their managers and their reps. And actually opened that with the reps of like, look, I want y'all to be very clear. Do you know how much training your managers have gotten on how to do their job? I just want you to think about this real quick. All the time and energy they spend with you to make you better, do you know how much of that they've gotten? And they're like, well, I just need you to remember that. And you need to give them some grace here a little bit. They are doing their absolute best. They're absolutely the best, but they've never gotten the coaching, right? They are now, but you need to give them some grace here. They are doing their very best right now, right? There's just learnings that have to occur, right? So, you know, you have a tool kind of for this. You've worked with a lot of companies. Like, so what are some of the best orgs starting to do? Like, how, you know, we talked about how to enable, we got into coaching a little bit, blocking the time for it, but like, how else then can we make this easier on the manager to work with their reps?
Yeah. Look, I think technology is part of it. I think we need to start setting up. We need to start recognizing that this is a problem and supporting our leaders and senior leaders, like, don't get me wrong, like, we could have a whole conversation around the senior leadership role and that, you know, similar kind of challenges there. But I think technology is a part of it. I think, capability building is a part of it. I think it's a cultural thing as well in sales in particular, where we just promote people and expect them just to sink or swim. I think that's not sustainable. A combination of those things, but it all starts with recognizing it's a problem and just vowing to do better. And that's, I've been in this world a long time and worked across probably 150 orgs, in this part of the world. And it was after doing that and seeing this problem so many times that I just realized, like, these people need help. And it's like what you said, like, we need to give them some grace because they're being set up to fail.
Yeah.
Like, frontline managers are set up to fail.
Yeah. It's, and so what I coach, like, my teams on, right, there's the leadership methodology, right? And then there's all the things that they need to know how to do, how to run a one-on-one, how to do issue diagnosis, how to run practice, how to create a coaching cadence, how to design culture for your orgs, how to have the tough conversations, how to do onboarding, how to do hiring and interviewing. Like, each one of these is its own, like, 45-minute standalone module and training that has, like, worksheets that go with it to run through it. Cause, like, a very common question I get asked, especially cause I work, you know, I almost do one of these engagements every other month, like, with a company.
Right.
And a question I get asked very often is, like, how are you able to do this? Like, how do you have time to do this while you still have your own org? And it's like, because I do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's because I have the systems in place with my orgs, the one-on-ones are documented, the checklists are in place, what good looks like has been defined. We've got the cadence in place. We have the issue diagnosis when things are broken, right? Like, it's all documented that lets the system run. So me being out for a day doesn't break anything, right?
Yeah.
Like, at all. Having the systems in place allows it to run, and not enough orgs have leadership systems or leadership methodologies, right? Like,
correct.
The leadership methodology I teach is BIPSI, right? So it's like, you know, if you find the result you want to improve, you're going to find the metric. Behind the metric, you have to define the BIPSI. And BIPSI stands for behaviors, issue diagnosis, process, skill, and you.
Right.
Every revenue problem lives in BIPSI, every single one.
Mm-hmm.
You either have to change a behavior, you have to do a firm issue diagnosis, you have to change the process, you have to improve the skill, or you as the manager are not doing the right things. And there's a full process to go through of, like, okay, we want to make someone better. What's the issue diagnosis? Is it behavior, process, skill, or you? Now we have it. What's the coaching plan? Coaching plan connects to the one-on-one doc. One-on-one doc flows all the way up to me. So at any point in time, I can see my whole orgs in terms of one-on-ones. Like, it's a leadership system that needs to be done in place. But I want to go back to something you mentioned that a lot of people still don't do, right? Back to the idea of the wiggle, what good looks like, is identifying what good looks like. Too often there's focus on what's broken. They're not focused on what good looks like. How did you, like, you, earlier you said you captured, like, one rep was doing this thing differently and was leading to a better result. How did you spot that? Or how do you coach, like, companies to find those things?
Yeah, without turning this into a plug, that was something, like, our platform has been designed. Our platform has been designed effectively to give sales managers superpowers and be their team management co-pilot to surface those sort of things for them, and support them to actually be the best possible leader they can be. And, you know, like you said, like, most don't have any kind of operating manual and you know, so really that's kind of what we've given them is, like, this is how to do it. And this is going to pick up those things that you can't see because you can't be everywhere.
Right.
But, you know, if you don't have a platform in place, like, how do you do it? Well, it's hard, right? You got to pay attention. And, part of that is making space to, as a leader, to do that, not just getting on the hamster wheel every day. It's like, actually, sometimes you need to get off and critically look at and reflect upon your team and look for the gaps. That's how you find them.
Yeah. We, once a quarter, we do what we call scaling greatness. So once a quarter, we sit down, we identify who has the best performance in the key metrics, right? Like, who's running the most demos, who has the highest close rate, who has the highest ACV, who has the highest, like, connect rate. And then we study greatness. Because, again, too often we're always issue diagnosing what's broken. especially when you're busy, it actually matters way more to know what good looks like than it is what's broken. Yeah. What is my best doing? And like, funny enough, bring this way back. I did a podcast with Brandon Barnanson from Seamless. This was 6 years ago, 7 years ago. We're bringing it way back here. But we're talking about, like, you know, top performers and like turnover, right? Yep. Of like, you know, like, well, a lot of people are scared to hire someone who's a top performer, but it's only worked at a company a year at a time. And I was like, I'm the complete opposite. Give me a year with a top performer and I'll be able to diagnose 80-90% of what it is they do. That is worth its weight in gold. Give me a top performer for a year and I'll be able to figure out what it is they do differently and build a system around it. I believe any skill can be taught within 80%. I don't think you can get to 100. Like, there are certain things that you are naturally better at than me. I could get to 80% of you in almost anything with enough time, practice, and repetition. That last 20%, yeah, maybe you still have that, right? But if you could match 80% of your top performers.
Totally. You're there. Like, if your team's doing, like, if you get everyone up to the 80%, man, you're winning.
Yeah. It's how you lift an org, right? Too much people just, they cater to the average, right? Versus like, how do you lift the entire org?
That's it. And that's where coaching comes in. You got to coach and it's got to be regular.
Yeah. So then as we come up on time here, like, what else, what haven't we touched on when it comes to management and coaching and the gap that we're seeing in the market? What would be kind of like that parting, like, leadership advice or tip before we wrap on the Live Better advice?
Look, I would say maybe the final thing I would say is, and it's probably akin to what you were just talking about there, is like, you can learn anything and you can get very competent at anything you set your mind to. And if you're not getting that from your org, or you're not getting it from your leader, because look, like, hey, like, everyone's had a boss that isn't doing that for them, right? Go find it yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes you just have to take charge of your own development and go find it yourself. And, you know, there's enough awesome, you don't even have to pay for it today. Like, there's so much great free content out there, podcasts, communities, et cetera, invest in yourself. Like, that would be the big one.
And that's just another place, and I will call managers out on this real quick, is the very things you tell your reps to do, most managers don't do. Mm-hmm. You tell your reps to go find out information, but you don't. You tell your reps to practice, managers don't practice. You tell your reps to focus inward, like, you need to do it as well. And oftentimes, too, we tell our reps to take breaks, but we don't. We tell our reps to take vacations, but we don't. Like, as leaders, like, we run ourselves into the ground, which does nobody any good at all. But I think that's just so key, is, you know, managers need to invest in themselves as well, right? Like, obviously we're on a podcast. A lot of people have seen, like, my background, but, like, there's probably 30, 40 books behind me right now on management and leadership and behavior change, language, cognitive therapy. Like, just how can I learn how to drive behavior in people, including my managers, right? Invest in yourself. Like, damn it. I'll throw these out there. Few books that are mandatory for my leadership. So, Cracking the Sales Management Code by Jason Jordan, Sales Manager Survival Guide by Dave Brock, right? That one is big. And then I've actually switched out a few that I used to do, but really, Do Hard Things and The Confident Mind. Those four are just, like, to me, that's the manager stack, right? And then, like, I used to do a lot with Radical Candor by Kim Scott, but, like, there's really like one part of that book that I'm like, all right, like, you just really need to learn this part. So we don't always go through it all the way through there, but you know, investing in yourself, y'all, it can change the game.
It really does.
So as we wrap up here, man, right? The name of the podcast is Live Better, Sell Better. Because I have this weird idea, right? That if we did, we took better care of ourselves, had more energy, fulfillment, joy in life, that the sales, that the leadership would improve as well. What would your Live Better advice be for people listening?
Sleep enough. Try and eat okay. Mm-hmm. Do some exercise. Like, look, I'm a bit of a fitness junkie. So I'm a boxer. Like, I work out pretty religiously. I eat pretty clean. But just make some small improvements, because it's amazing. Like, when I was younger, I was not so looking after myself, and you know, the classic, like, you know, early 20s, probably drank a little bit too much McDonald's, etc. But the difference in my output and clarity of thought and everything was insane. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying like you can't have fun, but it's amazing the difference that taking care of yourself 20% better makes in terms of output and quality of life.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Like I noticed the biggest, like for me is like saying like, whether it's like the, you know, the one or two glass of wine at night, if I'm not doing that, my sleep is so much, like it's noticeably better. Like, no, and it's actually annoying how noticeable it is.
Totally.
You know, like, I wish it was only like a little bit of a difference, you know, like, it's not worth it. But if I'm not, I'm like, God, like, that's just so much better. The recovery is so much better, you know, to do. I'm just like, we had so much travel over the holidays. So like, you know, just, I'm like back home. Get into a good routine and everything here. So awesome, my man. Well, this was phenomenal. And it's a topic that's very near and dear to my heart. Where can people learn more about you? What is like Grow? Like, let's throw that out there for people. This can help them. Like, wrap us up here a little bit. Where can they get more of your content? A little bit more of what you're doing right now.
Cool. Awesome. So best place to connect with me personally is LinkedIn, Alex McNaughton. Grow AI, we've built a team management co-pilot for sales teams. So give managers superpowers, and then Taylor, our AI performance coach, also can take some of the weight off in terms of coaching the team for you as well. So it's kind of like a hybrid management and coaching platform. You can find that at www.grow.ai, grw.ai. And then where else can folks find me? I've got a podcast as well, the Rev Up Sales podcast that I've run for a couple of years, and I'd love to have you on it at some point. We've been talking about these kind of problems on there as well.
I love it, my man. I'll support anybody that's trying to support managers because they are the missing link in so many orgs. So really appreciate it, man. Really good stuff today. Great advice, great insights. And I'll definitely be taking a look at Grow as well. Learn a little bit more about that. And I'm sure we'll be in touch, man. I appreciate you today.
Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed the conversation. Thanks for having me on.